Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. In the past, those who valued the Bible above church tradition faced intense persecution. The Bible commands an allegiance like no other book. Some have been martyred for believing that the Bible alone is the rule of faith. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues the series on what we believe and the difference it should make. We're looking at the book we trust and the price some have paid to be able to have it.
You realize what people have had to endure because they believed in the Bible? Years ago, when persecution broke out against the church in France, you had the Huguenots, who were believers influenced by the great John Calvin in Geneva. And they came to faith in Christ, and they were banished from France under Louis XIV, who thought that he was doing God a favor and actually said that he thought he should enter heaven because he had done God such a favor to get rid of these people. But in a monument in France to them, there are these words, and I hope that I remember them. Hammer away, ye unregenerate hands. Your hammer breaks, God's anvil stands. You skeptic out there, take your hammer and pound it on God's anvil. See which breaks. Your hammer or God's anvil? God's anvil will take a lot. It's probably taken a lot more heat than you're able to give it. We hold in our hands today the living, true Word of God. The Word of God right here. We take it for granted, though, don't we? We really do. When I led a tour to the sites of the Reformation in England last year, actually, I took the tour group right outside of St. Paul's Cathedral and showed them the place where all the Bibles were burned. And when Wycliffe trained his young men to share the Bible and had scribes transcribing it prior to Gutenberg, the first thing that he taught them was how to die for the faith. Hundreds were put to death. And I asked the bus driver to go to the place where it happened. Now you can't even see it because it's full of traffic lights and streets. But hundreds have died because of this book that we take for granted and leave on our shelves. Well, there's so much else that I could say. I could talk about history. I could speak about archaeology and science. But we have time for only one more reason. The first reason is logical. The Bible claims to be the Word of God. What are we going to do about it? The second reason is Christological. Jesus believed in the Old Testament. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, how do I know that the Old Testament of Jesus is the same as our Old Testament? That's a good question. And that's one of the questions I'm going to answer tonight as I speak about canonicity. I can't imagine that there's anyone here this morning that won't be here tonight. It's possible that it would happen. You explain to God why you aren't coming, and that'll be fine with me. We're going to have a great time tonight as we discuss these kinds of issues. The third reason is personal. The power of the Word. Let's suppose you were driving through Los Angeles, and this is right after the riots occurred that took place there many years ago, and you were in the riot district because you were lost. And suddenly your car drives over a piece of metal and you realize you've got two flat tires and you have no cell phone. And you're sitting there wondering what in the world to do because people are roaming the streets, and suddenly a door from a building flings open and about 15 young men come strutting out and they surround your car. First of all, what emotions would you have at that moment? That's number one. Number two, would it help your emotions if you knew that they were on their way home from a Bible study? I think even atheists would feel better if they knew that. It's amazing what the Word of God does. It's amazing its power. Young man in anger took the Bible that his mother gave him and took it and flung it out of a train as far as he could throw the thing. He hated her and he hated her God. And that's what happens to young people. Years later, he repented of his sins and thought he'd go back to where he had so desecrated God's holy word. And he did some investigation and discovered that the Bible that he had flung out of the train had been found by a family that read it and believed on Jesus. And now they were changed and he was changed. What book is it that can take the heart of an angry young man and the heart of a family and transform them and make them differently except God's holy word? There is no other book out there that can do that. That's why if you're a skeptic, the first thing you should always do with skeptics is to get them into the word of God. Don't argue about Aristotle's laws of motion, which were used by Thomas Aquinas to prove the existence of God. They're too complicated, and there are answers to all of these things. You can't convince people that way. What you do is you get them into the book, because the Bible says that the word of God not only heals us and helps us, but the word of God actually converts us. You have been born again, the scripture says, not of corruptible seed or perishable seed, but by imperishable, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. It's the word that explodes in the human heart, and we have to trust the word. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I were in a restaurant with some friends, and as we came in, they introduced me to the waitress as a pastor. And so I asked her where she was on her spiritual journey, and she said, I'm investigating all the faiths. And she told me about a book that she was reading that introduces all the different faiths. And I said to her, how much adult consideration have you ever given to the Bible? And she said, none. Have you ever read the New Testament? No. I made her promise, and this is the best you can do in a passing connection. Please look into my eyes and make this promise that you will read the New Testament. That's the best thing that I could do in the few seconds that we had together. Why? Because it's the Word of God, you see, which will germinate in her heart. People read the New Testament. They read the Gospel of John, and they say to themselves, there's no way somebody could have made up this story of Jesus. And they become captivated by him, and before you know it, they're believing in him. Why do you think that the Bible is banned in so many countries today, in Islam, for example? Why is it that a young soldier told my daughter, if I'm found with a Bible when I return to my homeland, I could be put to death? Why? It's because people fear the Word of God. They know it has power. It is the living Word of God that lives and abides forever. It is the two-edged sword that pierces asunder soul and spirit, the joints and marrow of the heart. If I were the devil, said J.I. Packer, one of my first aims would be to stop folks from digging into the Bible. I should do all I could to surround it with the spiritual equivalents of pits and thorns and hedges and man-made traps to frighten people off. If you were the devil, that's what you'd do. Those of you who have no scriptural reading program, those of you who begin and you read a few verses and you put the Bible away, you're falling into the trap of the devil. That's his strategy, because this book can bless you. Could I read what Spurgeon said about it? He said, this book has wrestled with me. This book has smitten me. This book has comforted me. This book has smiled on me. This book has frowned on me. The book has clasped my hand. The book has warmed my heart. The book weeps with me, sings with me, whispers to me, preaches to me, maps my way, holds my goings. It is the young man's best companion and is still my morning and evening chaplain. That's what the Word of God can do. No wonder we find it so hard to study it. I'm going to conclude with the words of Robert Chapman. To impress upon you the need for you to love the Bible. If God were to do something mighty among us here at the Moody Church, one of the things that we'd notice is people would be reading their Bibles and reading their newspapers less. Because God generates within us a love of his holy word. Robert Chapman writes, "This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, the gates of hell disclosed. Jesus Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, test the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. It gives you life, and it will be opened at the day of judgment and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who will trifle with its sacred contents." My friend today, this is the Word of God. Let us pray. Father, forgive us for the times that we have neglected your book. Forgive us, Father, that we have not loved and delighted in it like your word says we should. Delight in the law of God, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We have too many other delights. May we repent of those today, we pray. And I pray that this may be a congregation in love with the Word, and may skeptics who are present open their New Testaments and begin to read your Word. We pray that it may be in our minds, in our hearts. We pray that as we meet other people, it may always be our guide. And when it comes time to die, may we cleave to its promises that will take us all the way to eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 My friend, as you've noticed, as I preach this message, I deeply believe in the trustworthiness of the Word of God. And I've written a book entitled 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. I want to have this book in your hands. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how it can be yours. This book was written so that your confidence in God's Word will be strong and unwavering. Trust that you will enjoy it, but then pass it along, particularly if you have children in college, university, if you know skeptics. 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible. And I trust that even as you read the book and as you listen to these messages, your heart will be encouraged. Thanks again. God bless you. I hope to see you here next time on Running to Win, when together we're making a difference.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Book We Trust, the first in a 10-part series on what we believe. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss a message on the Father we worship. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.